I was thinking how Paul the Apostle shares with us about these men of God. And what these men of God were not afraid, women of God were not afraid to stand up for their faith. And as we've been traveling through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we have seen not only about Abel and Enoch and all these guys that he mentions here, including Moses and Abraham and Sarah, every one of them by name, going through the whole book of Hebrews chapter 11, Joseph, Jacob. And then when you come to chapter 11, and there about verse 30, he says, now Joshua, that's where we left off last week. And when you think of the Old Testament, if you're a new Christian, you probably have not read the book of Joshua. It is an amazing book to read. You could actually say Joshua goes hand in hand with the book of Ephesians, because it talks about heavenly places. But when you think of Joshua, his name, which is Jesus, salvation is our God. And you think of the actual job or call that God gave to Joshua as he was with Moses, and Moses watched this young man as they came out of Egypt and went through the wilderness, and they came over to the other side. And when they got to the other side, 40 years of wandering, horrendous, you know, wilderness area, and these people that they have no faith, and they sin against God, and they all begin to die in the wilderness. And then God says, only those that are 20 years of age and under will be able to cross to the other side. Moses and Joshua will be the only ones. Actually, Moses will die on this side, but Joshua and Caleb will be the ones that will lead them across to the promised land. And as they begin to go across the promised land, and they cross the Jordan River, and it becomes dried up, and they cross to dry ground, and they get over to the promised land of Canaan. And as they're dwelling in Canaan, they come down to the place where we call, you know, there where Joshua comes down to the city that he talks about here in verse 30, Jericho. You know, when you go to Jericho today, you really can't go through Jericho. You go outside of Jericho because the Arabs don't let you come in at this time. We used to go to Jericho every time we went on our Israel trips. Today, all you can see is the city from a distance. And you go around the city to the Dead Sea. And the reason is because with all the terrorist problems that are going on in Israel, the PLO and all these terrorist groups. And yet at the same time, you think of what God had done through the life of Joshua. And when we read about these people in the Bible, these were men and women of faith. Men and women that were consecrated to God. They consecrated their lives to God and said, Lord, here am I, use my life. They were not looking for a name. They were not looking for any power. They were not looking for any statue for themselves. They were just obedient to the word of God and what God had called them to do, and that is to be a witness. And God called Joshua to lead the people of God. And one of the greatest things God called Joshua to do is to go down to the city of Jericho and to march around the city of Jericho 6 times. And on the 7th time, they would walk around that they were supposed to yell out. And when they would begin to scream, the walls of Jericho would fall down. Can you imagine how much faith that takes to do that? Think how these people of God, if that was you and I told you, okay, you guys, we're going to go to LA and we're going to march around City Hall. Not one day, but 7 days. And God said he's going to bring it down. You would look at me and say, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. God told me. Imagine all the questions that people must have had when Joshua started marching out to Jericho. And then he said, okay, you guys, this is what God says. He says to walk around every single day and don't say a word. Just march around 1 time. 2nd day, March around again. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And now on the seventh day, he says, when we march around this time, we want everybody to praise the Lord. And as they walked around for 7 days, on the seventh day, as they began to praise the Lord, guess what happened? The walls fell down. They must have been shocked. Hey, this really works. But I mean, when we read it, we can read it and say, wow, that's amazing that happened. But what about today? What about today? I mean, what kind of faith do we really have? Not like the positive confessioners, you know, that tell you, you know, that you can confess things, you know. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about really believing in God and the power of God. Whether you have cancer, whether you have leukemia, whether you have a headache, whatever it may be. Have you ever noticed when people pray for a person that has cancer? Oh, Lord, please touch him. Please, God. A person has a headache. Lord, just touch him and get rid of this headache. Amen. You know, no big deal. But I mean, why should we not every time we pray truly believe that God does whatever he wants to do through prayer? I mean, think about a person that has cancer. Why doesn't God heal everybody? To me, God knows best, because sometimes God will heal somebody physically, and then other times I'll pray for people and they'll die. So you really don't want me to pray for you. But at the same time, that's God's will. God took him home. Their time's up. God doesn't want him to suffer any longer. Some people live, some people die, and that's healing. And it's so cool, because I really believe when Joshua came to the city of Jericho, standing there as a leader, trying to tell the people, we're going to march 6 times, and on the seventh day, you're going to march around the city, and then you're going to blow your instruments, the horns, and then the city and the walls are going to be coming down. And it must have been a trip when those walls came down. I've stood over Jericho, and those walls had came down many, many times. It is amazing. Amazing that God would do that. And yet God did it. Look what it says in verse 30 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. 7 is a number of perfection. And yet 7 also is God's timing and method of working by the people, not saying one word, being silent, being obedient, and marching around the city, praying, worshiping, and then on the seventh day, blowing the trumpets. And then God allowing the walls to come down. Maybe tonight there are some walls in your life that need to come down. How do we do that? Through prayer. Through the worship of God. However it may be. The reason we want those walls in our lives to come down is so that we can be free agents of God. So God can use my life. So I can't hide anything from God. I don't want to put a front before God. I have to be honest with God. And Joshua was not only a man of integrity, but he was a man that had been chosen by God to lead the people into the promised land. And as they came into the book of Joshua from the book of Deuteronomy, they began to see all the victories and all the work that God wanted to do through this Joshua, the leader of the nation of Israel, and the people of God following this leader in the promised land. Even though there were giants in the land, yet God was with them. And God led them, and God was with them in every area of their lives. I love that. The way God works as we release faith in our personal lives. You see, faith is unconditional trust in God by trusting what? God's word right here. God said it, God will do it. You got to read the Bible. You got to read the stories. You have to believe the stories of the Bible. The Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, these things are written for our examples, so that we can learn. What God did in the past, that's what's so cool about the Bible, that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it has everybody's failures exposed. Can you imagine? The whole world knows about David and Bathsheba. Everybody knows he committed adultery. Everybody knows. And it's amazing how God allows these things to be published and to be recorded so that we do not make the same mistakes. Those are God's warning to us as believers in reading the Bible. These people made these mistakes. Don't make the same mistake now that you read it. And what do people do? They don't listen. They do the same thing, and yet they read it. Disobedience, but not obedience to the Word of God. It's really important that we understand that it's really courageous faith that we see here as they walked around for those 6 days, and on the seventh day, they must have been worried and said, okay, Joshua, we've been going around 6 times and nothing's happened. He can just say, well, tomorrow it will happen. Okay. They get up early in the morning, they start walking on the seventh day, and imagine their expression on their faces when that earthquake came and knocked down those walls of the city there in Jericho. They must have really freaked them out. It would have freaked me out. But that's the way faith is, as God does his work. And then check this out. This is so beautiful. In verse 31, Rahab, she was a Canaanite. The Canaanites, you know who they were? They were actually worshipers of idolatry. They took their babies and they burned them in the fire. They were really crude people. And here, there's a woman by the name of Rahab, and she's a prostitute in the city of Jericho. In the city of Jericho. And Moses sends these spies to spy out the city of Jericho and to look at the promised land. And as they're spying out the land, the people of the city find out that there's some Israelis in the city, and so they send out a group of people to look for them so they can take care of them. And she allows them to come into her house, and she puts them in the attic and hides them until the next day. Protects them. Which is amazing here. But it says in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, and then in chapter 6, 21 to 25, that not only she helped the spies of Israel, but by faith she believed in their God. She believed in their God. Imagine. And then you know what's amazing about Rahab? In the genealogies of Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew chapter 1, there are 4 women written in the genealogies, and usually no women are written in the genealogies. 4 women. And all 4 women are not good women. And yet, why is Rahab there? To show you the grace of God. God doesn't choose perfect people, but imperfect people. By faith, Rahab believed. She believed in God, which is so beautiful here as you see what God's grace does to people's lives. And yet we see here in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those, notice, who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. The word that he uses here, not believe, is speaking of those that were disobedient to God's word. Those that did not believe in God's word. When she had received, and literally here in the Greek, the word to receive means to welcome with hospitality. She was hospitable to them and protected them and watched over them. And when they were leaving the city, they said, now look, Rahab, we're, next time we come, we're coming with a whole army and we're going to destroy the city. What we want you to do is for you and your family to put a little red cord outside of your window. And when we see that, we will spare your family and your house, and we will destroy the whole city. God's divine protection over that city, over that woman, Rahab, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Rahab, the prostitute. The one that God saw her heart and helped the spies. When they were going to be killed, she put them in her own house. And God blessed her for helping God's people. Amazing to me how this whole thing works, you know, in the Word of God. And then listen carefully. Now he's going to use a couple more names, but then he's going to speak without names. And now he says this in verse 32 through 40. He says, "And what more shall I say to you? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets." All these people that are in the record of God's book. And they became effective in their faith in God. Remember who Gideon is? Gideon was so fearful. He was a very fearful person. And yet he was one of the judges in the book of Judges, chosen by God, Gideon. He defeated the Gibeonites. God said, "Gideon, I want you to go down and fight against the Gibeonites. He says, I want you to take 32,000 men with you, but I'm going to separate them." He says, "I want you to take them. Whenever we go to Israel, we go to Gideon Spring." And there at Gideon Spring, God said, "All the men that get down like dogs and lap up the water like dogs, those are the men that I'm going to give you to fight with you. The rest can go home." Out of 32,300 were chosen by God to go and fight against the Gibeonites. And God told him this, "Take a sword and a light, and that's it. That's all you're going to need." And 300 of them went and defeated the Gibeonites by bringing confusion to them. They started running. They thought there was a whole army out there, and there was only 300 men. God defeated that army with 300 men, men of faith. God always works not with the multitudes, but with the few. It's not with the multitudes. It's with the few. Those that really believe in God. Those that really trust in the Lord. And then Barak was the judge, and he worked with Deborah when they literally went down and they took about 10,000 to fight against Sisera, and they won the battle. A woman leading the battle. And because of his faith, God used him. And then, of course, you know the story of Samson. Samson, the one that not only was a judge in the city there among the judges, he judged Israel for 20 whole years. He killed 300 men. He killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of an ass. He killed 3,000 at his death. He carried the gates 30 miles away. And then he was defeated by a prostitute by the name of Delilah, a man of faith. As he got up one more time and pushed on those pillars and brought down 3,000 of the Philistines and killed them, but he himself paid with his own life at the bottom of the pile. And then how about Japheth, another judge? He was from Gilboa, the son of a prostitute, and yet he was used to defeat the Gibeonites in the book of Judges, chapter 11, 32 and 33. And then again he says, David. What about David, this great man of God? David, the king of Israel. And yet David, the one that committed a sin of adultery with who? With Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. The one that was in his army. And he took his wife and committed adultery with her and had her husband killed. And then the little son dies. And then God deals with him as he brings Nathan the prophet. And Nathan the prophet confronts David after hiding his sin for a whole year. And finally, he confesses his sin. David, the man of God. And yet he's in the actual chart of the heroes of faith. David, a man after God's own heart. And then, of course, Samuel, born because of prayer, his mother praying for a son to be born. God needed a man, but first of all, before God could bring a man to the nation, why? Because in the book of Judges, you had everyone doing what's right in their own eyes, and then right in the middle between 1 Samuel and Judges is the book of Ruth, the book of redemption. And as as Samuel's mother, Hannah, begins to pray in the temple, and Eli the priest comes out and says, you know what, are you drunk with new wine? He says, oh no, my Lord, I'm in deep sorrow of heart. I'm praying to God for a son. And the priest told her, Eli said, by next time this year, you're going to have a baby boy. As she aligned herself with the will of God and the purposes of God, God answered her prayer. Samuel means answered of God. God heard her prayer. When she aligned herself with the purposes of God, God needed a man to judge the nation of Israel. And here Samuel was going to be born. And he was going to be one of the leaders in the nation of Israel. He came by answered prayer. He was a man of faith. He fought against idolatry. He went ahead and rebuked, remember King Saul? That was literally an apostate and was not obedient to God. And yet, here are the types of people that God chooses, people just like you and me. It doesn't matter who you are. These are the heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews. Men and women that God uses and used in the past, and God is still using people like that today. Because he wants us to trust him and to believe in him. And then he says, and also the prophets, you know, Jeremiah, Haggai, you know, Habakkuk. I mean, there's so many of them. And then verse 33, he says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Notice that. They believed in God's word, and they conquered because of God's word. They worked righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions. Who's that? Daniel. In chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. When the king put him in prison. Because they were falsely accusing Daniel. So they put him in prison among the lion's den. And the Bible says that he prayed that night. And the Lord sent an angel to close the mouth of the lions. And the king came out the next morning as he had been worried all day long. Because he loved Daniel. But he signed the decree. He said, Daniel, are you okay? He says, yes, I'm okay, O king. God has sent his angel to protect me all night long. Daniel, a man of faith. And as they took Daniel out of the pit, they took all those evil men and threw them and their wives and their children into the lion's den. And it says, as they were falling into the lion's den, those lions ripped them into shreds. But not Daniel. He was a man of faith. He stopped the mouths of lions. Imagine that. Verse 34, and quench the violence. Notice that. Who's that? Remember the three Hebrews, Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach? They threw him into the fire. The king was pretty upset. And he says, because they would not bow to the image that he made. He says, we're going to sound the trumpets again. And if you do not bow to this image, then I'm going to have to take care of you. And so they blew the trumpets and they did not bow. So they went ahead and took him and built his fiery furnace and took all three of them and put them in the fire. And as the king was watching these three guys inside, they were tied up in the fire. He says, and the king said, what do you see? I says, I see four men. I see three of them walking around and the fourth one like the son of man, and they're talking together. And so the king said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out of here. I want to talk to you. And they came out. And the Bible says that what Jesus was with them in the fire. And when they came out, they didn't even smell like fire or anything. As God protected, why? Men of faith. That's what he's talking about here. Quenched by the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight, known as the armies of aliens. God gave them the power to chase their enemy. I mean, Gideon, when he went to fight against the Gibeonites, they didn't even fire one shot. They didn't even use their swords. They just started beating their sticks on those jars, and they thought there was a whole army out there, and they started running and confusing and killing each other. The way God does work, you know, he works really differently. It's amazing how God does miracles and wonders. And then he said this, women, notice that. How about the widow of Elijah? Where her son was brought back from the dead. to life when Elisha prayed for him, laid on top of him, and he was resurrected in the book of Kings. Notice that. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Notice, what were they doing? They suffered because their hope was not in this world. Their hope was where? In heaven. In heaven. Sometimes we can say, well, how can people be tortured? How can people give their lives like these Koreans that just died? The pastor was the first one to get killed. They killed him. But you know what? When you have the Lord and you know where you're going, this life is nothing compared to the next. You can kill me. You can shoot me. You could cut me into pieces. You can cut my head off. The moment you do that, I am in the presence of the Lord. It doesn't bother me. It's going to bother you a long time. But not me. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Because our faith is in Jesus Christ, not in this present world. So whenever we stand in the presence of God, whenever we have something that's going on within our lives, and maybe today you're suffering from a disease or something's going on in your body, or maybe there's family problems, or maybe work problems, whatever it may be, know one thing, God is in full control of your life. Wait on the Lord. Believe the Lord that He is going to deliver you, and He will. Because His Word says that. As we read the Word of God, the Christian life is not just a life of joy. It's a life of suffering, a life of pain, disappointments, discouragement. People get bummed out. But when you start really looking to Jesus as the author of our faith, and you start thinking what He went through and what Job went through, what Jeremiah the prophet went through, when God called Jeremiah the prophet to preach to the nation of Israel, and they were in apostasy. And for 40 years, he went to the people of God. From the age 17 years old, he was called by God to go preach. And when he went to the nation of Israel, and he preached the message of the gospel to them, and they never received it, he's called the weeping prophet. Read the Lamentations of Jeremiah. When you open the book of Jeremiah and you read it, be careful, because all kinds of tears will fall out. Seriously. He cried so much. They took him and they put him in this cavern, this water cistern, dropped him in, and he sunk down to his neck in the mud. He almost drowned. And he was in there. He called out to God, and God finally got him out of there. People hated Jeremiah. His family turned against him. Friends turned against him. But God never turned against him. 40 years, the weeping prophet went to the house of Israel and prophesied, and they still would not repent. How sad. There are people like that all over the world that stand and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they stand strong in the Lord. Notice what else it says in verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain, what? A better resurrection. That's the key right there. The reason that Christians can allow themselves to suffer and to go through hell is because our hope is not in this world. Our hope is where? In Jesus Christ. The resurrection from the dead. That we as believers, when we die, we don't go to sleep. The moment a person takes their last breath, and they die by stoning, or they get run over, they get their heads cut off, or they get tortured, whatever it is, the moment you take your last breath, the angels of God come to take you home. And they take you to be with the Lord. This body remains here, goes back into the earth. But the Spirit that's in us, immediately is in the presence of God in heaven. And what does God do? Immediately He gives you a new body. A new body. All things become new. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. We are forever comforted, never tormented again. That's why our faith is so strong in Jesus Christ, because not only do we read it, we understand it. We know that this life is nothing but temporary. Everything's going to burn except what we do for Jesus Christ, period. It will last forever. And that's why we have to always trust in the Lord and believe in the Lord. Just like these are our examples that are given to us so that our faith can increase. Because faith is not only the greatest thing that we can have, but it contains, and we need to understand this, that if you have really faith in God, then also God guarantees you suffering. We're not separate from suffering. You know, right now you may say, well, I'm pretty healthy, and that's cool. That's good you're healthy. But you don't know what happens tomorrow. You don't know that. So many people, you know, from one day to the other, I know people that were so healthy. Well, I knew a guy that had, so much good health, went to get a physical, and they found out his heart was real bad. And he died. Others, they found cancer. They didn't even have cancer. You never know. That's why you really have to always be ready. Why? Because today you may be happy, tomorrow you may be sad. Today you have good news, tomorrow bad news may come. Tomorrow you might lose a son or a daughter. You might lose your husband, your wife. You might lose your own life. You don't know what tomorrow has. That's why we give our lives to Christ. We make plans, but it doesn't mean those plans are going to be fulfilled. We live by faith every single day of our lives, believing that God's in control of my life. That's why the world's so disappointed. They make all these plans and those plans never work. Why? Because God changes things. God changes things. God has ways of changing situations. It's amazing. Think of all the people tonight that are suffering in many areas of their lives, maybe with family. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they lost someone, or they just found out they have cancer, whatever it is. And yet this last week, they were so happy. And they had so much faith in God. And now, you really got to believe in what you've been actually studying and praying about. So we need to be thankful to God for today and be ready for tomorrow, for whatever may come. Today there's clear skies, tomorrow a storm may come. And we don't know what kind of a storm it's going to be. And that's why we need each other. And we have to love each other, we have to pray for each other. These men and women in this chapter, the heroes of faith, they did not see Jesus Christ. They had their hope in the Messiah coming. They never saw him, but they believed. They believed in heaven. They believed there was a better place, a better resurrection. That's why when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, where did Jesus Christ go those 3 days? He went down to the earth, down to the center of hell. And in hell, there were the two compartments, Abraham's bosom, and on the other side, people tormented. And what did he do? Abraham's bosom, he emptied it out, got them all out of there, a better resurrection, and took them to heaven. He cleaned out hell. And then hell became one massive place where today every person that doesn't believe in God goes to hell with the rest of the world there, way back there. But we have faith in Jesus Christ. We know that if we were to die today, we would be in the presence of the Lord. Imagine closing your eyes and then opening your spiritual eyes and you're in the presence of the Lord. As you leave this world, you enter a new world. That is so awesome. I always think about that. As you're looking at your family, and you're actually taking your last breath, and all of a sudden you see the spiritual realm, and there's millions of angels waiting. And you're in the presence of the Lord. We're all going to have to face that one day, believe it or not. So we need to prepare our hearts to do that. By really, truly believing in a better resurrection, which is for the future. It's the key to our lives. That's what keeps me going. That I know that I know that Jesus Christ is going to come for me one day. And I'm going to be in heaven. Looking forward to that. To see my grandpa, to see my grandma, see my dad.
See, my little brother that I lost many, many, many years ago, man, never met him. Just knew him for 1 year. That's it. Looking forward to see him in the full age. And friends that I've gone to be with the Lord. That's why we have such a great hope and faith. Because we don't believe like the world that you become non-existent. That you become your favorite animal when you come back. You know? If you like cockroaches, you'll be a cockroach the rest of your life. Sad, you know? Or be a donkey. Whatever, you know? Imagine that, or a flea. Or a fly. Zzz, all over the place. But it's so cool to know that, you know what? That's not the truth. The truth is what? There's a better resurrection. Otherwise, Jesus Christ would have never come. But he came to demonstrate not only to these, but to us. Look at you guys. These people over here, they died by faith. They didn't even see me. You've seen me. You've read my Bible. You've read my word. And I've given you the assurance of eternal life. So get ready to meet me. And I was thinking today, can you imagine everything that's happening in the world today with Iran, Iraq, and all the things that are going on, and the rapture of the church is getting ready to come? And Ezekiel 38, 39 is building up right now like never before. And all of a sudden, one day, soon, the trumpet is going to blow. And it's going to be so quick when thousands and millions of people that really believe in Jesus Christ are going to disappear and go in the rapture of the church. The problem will be for those that were not taken. And they'll know the rapture came. They will have to live upon this earth for the next 7 years of hell. Upon the earth with the Antichrist and the false prophet and everything that's going to happen. Or, the Bible says, they're going to have to be beheaded. And then they can go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. So we're looking forward to the coming of the Lord for a better resurrection. And that's what kept these people going and getting tortured and getting stretched and getting cut in half and being beheaded. A better resurrection. The moment you kill me, I'm in the presence of the Lord. So go ahead and do me the favor. You know, I'll be in the presence of God. And then he said this in verse 36. Still, others. The word others here in the Greek is of other kind. Notice that. They were really never healed. They were never delivered. These are people that he's now talking about. They were sick. They were in prison. They were tortured. But they were never helped by God. God allowed them to go through this. And then he took them immediately home. They died. Still others had trial of mockings, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Notice that. The conflicts of the Christian life. The Christian life is a conflict. And yet, verse 37, and they were stoned, not in marijuana, okay? They were not stoners, okay? They were stoned because some people say, oh, there it is. They were stoned, so that's pretty cool. Bob Dylan sings that song, remember? Look at it. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Isaiah the prophet was cut in half. Can you imagine that? Isaiah the prophet, they cut him in half. Were tempted, were slain with a sword. Notice that. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Imagine, as Christians, we should what? We should expect life to be what? Perfect? No, imperfect. Imperfect. We suffer. We get sick. We get bummed out. But yet we have real faith in Jesus Christ. Not just becoming a Christian, but being a believer in Jesus Christ through suffering. You know, and saying, Lord, whatever your will may be, let it be done in my life. Whatever you want, I'll stand by, Lord, and I will do whatever you want me to do. And then he said this in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Oh, I like that. Underline that, man. The world was not worthy of them. What a great statement is here. Notice the real Christian without the comfort of this life. These people that truly die for the Lord are not worthy of this life, this world. They're not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains,
in dens and in caves of the earth. Notice, they didn't live in nice houses. They were in poverty. They didn't even have bank accounts. They were poor. Poor and abused and tortured. And they died by faith in God. They believed that God would deliver them. Verse 39, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. Oh, I love that. Notice that. They had a good testimony. Why? Because of their faith. Their faith in obtaining. Having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Notice that. They. What does that mean? They never saw Jesus, and yet they believed. And yet we have never seen Jesus, but we read the stories. We have the full Bible now. Better than them. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't even have the Old Testament. And now we have 39 books of the Old, 27 the New, 66 books. And yet, we need to believe even more because we have verification through the Word of God. And notice what it says. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. What promise? The price of redemption, salvation. Notice that. They went to Abraham's bosom, but then Jesus Christ went down to get them and delivered them out of the bosom and took them to heaven. The promise was fulfilled. But when they died, they just believed. They were just believing that God would rescue them and that God would go before them and he would do a work in their lives. Verse 40, God having provided something better, who's that? Jesus Christ. Better for us. That they should not be made perfect apart from us. Isn't that neat? Jesus Christ is the main thing. Without Jesus Christ, there is no resurrection. With Jesus Christ, there is resurrection. And there's a resurrection for the righteous and for the wicked. The Bible says that. Father, we do pray tonight, Lord God. We ask you, Jesus, that as we continue chapter 12 next Wednesday, Lord God, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in us and to work through us, Father, in a mighty, mighty way, Lord God, that you would strengthen our faith, Lord. And Lord, whatever we're facing tonight, that we would be able to believe that you're in full control of our lives and that you're going to help us. And that you're going to do it in your perfect timing, Lord. Not when we want to, but when you want to, Lord. So, Lord, we ask you even tonight, Jesus, that you would have your way within each one of our hearts and minds, Lord. And, Father, for those that are going through deep, deep valleys tonight, Jesus, and, Lord, they find themselves in the fire, that you would be with them in the fire, Lord, and through the fire. And, Father, that you would touch physically, emotionally, financially, Father, and spiritually, God, in every way, Father, every person here tonight, Lord God, because we trust in you and we love you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for our kids. We pray for our young people, Lord. Father, we pray for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Lord God. And Lord, we ask you by faith that you would touch our lives in such a way, Father, that we would never deny you, Lord. That we would stand by faith with you, Lord God, no matter if it shines or if it storms. Father, that we truly, truly would stand in the rock. And Lord, we thank you so much for this evening and your people and the work that you're doing through your people, Lord God. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight as every eye is closed, every head is bowed, and everyone's praying. For those that are visiting with us, maybe you brought somebody or you came on your own. And there might be someone here tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and God has been speaking to you. And tonight he's giving you the opportunity to receive his love and grace and mercy and to be forgiven for every one of your sins you've ever committed. By the blood of Jesus Christ, he'll cleanse and wash you. If there's anybody here that wants to humble themselves and by faith wants to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, then what you'll do is you'll come, you'll repent of your sins, you'll confess them to him, and by faith you'll trust him. He'll write your name in the book of life, and he'll give you the assurance tonight of eternal life, that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven. That's a guarantee he gives you. And I'm going to ask you as we worship to get up out of your seat and to come up here to the front, and I want to pray with you. For those of you that would like to receive Jesus Christ, you can get up and you can come now by faith. Those of you that are coming, I want you to pray with me this prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts and to cleanse you and wash you from all your sins, okay? Pray with me this prayer out loud. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. I repent in my heart, and I want to give you my life. I receive you by faith tonight, and I ask you to come into my heart and to live within me. Empower me tonight with your Holy Spirit. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible, some literature. Cool. See that guy right over there, you guys? Turn around and go right there. Alrighty? Cool. Thank you so much. That's neat.